And I could see the look on her face seemed to say to me, are you pleased with yourselves? Did you have fun? And I knew, oh dear, I've made a terrible mistake.
Hey there, I'm Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy, a podcast about sticking with moments that challenge us. We share the stories of real people in moments that challenged their perspective. And instead of getting angry or shutting down, they stuck with the discomfort. They stayed curious and open, and they're glad they did. We hope these stories inspire you to stick with it too, because there's so much to gain. New empathy, deeper relationships, more clarity about our own views. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's get uncomfy. Here's a story about facing some uncomfortable feedback from a close friend. Lisa Valentine Clark is in the hot seat today here on Uncomfy. She's an actor, comedian, author, and host of the Lisa Show podcast on BYU Radio. So we get to pass each other in the halls frequently, which is a treat for me. Lisa, hi. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan of Top of Mind and now this new endeavor.
Well, let's dive right into your Stick With It story. Set it up for us. What background do we need to know to get us to that moment when you had to choose to stay uncomfortable?
Something that's very important to me is being a good friend and showing up for my friends and really being there. And so several years ago, I have a really good friend who had been there for me through thick and thin, and she was turning 40 years old, and I was determined to make all of her birthday celebration dreams come true. And not only just so that she would just have a wonderful, memorable day, but also so that it would be like this fun thing that we could share together and have memories for the rest of our lives. No pressure at all, right? So I thought, oh, let's make this a big celebration. And at the time, and you have to remember, this was several years ago, but flash mobs were kind of a fun, newer thing at that time. And I thought, this would be amazing because the coordination alone will just show like how many people want to show up for her on this day. We'll surprise her. It'll be amazing. So with her husband, I planned this surprise dinner where we would have all of her friends show up. In fact, I even had a friend from out of town on an iPad learn this flash mob like dance to You Give Love a Bad Name, like nice, like amazing 80s hit. I thought, she'll never see it coming. It will be amazing and it will blow her away and it will make this birthday so memorable because she thinks she's having this just little intimate dinner. And then you turn around and there's more friends there and a choreographed dance and song just for her. I was so excited. We had the lights kind of low at this restaurant. We were all having dinner. And then the music started and I was like making eye contact, making sure everybody like knew this is where to go. And we started the flash mob. About 30 seconds in, I'm looking at her face for her reaction because we're really into it. And she's visibly uncomfortable.
Oh. And not in a good way, I guess.
Not in a good way. Like I look at her and I like, this is one of my dearest friends. And I can see her face being like, it's like getting worse and worse. Cause you know, at first in a surprise, your face is surprised. Like you're trying to figure out what's going on, but then you figure out what's going on. And then you're like, oh, this is fun. And you relax. That moment of tension release and relax never came for her. Mm. For the second verse, this is like, again, 30 seconds in, her sister is doing the next verse. And I can hear Casey lean over the table and look at her sister's eyes and say, you don't have to do this.
Oh, this is your friend who's like, please stop. Please like, stop now, sister. Know,
I know these guys probably wanted to, you don't have to do this.
Oh, no.
And we all heard and we were all like, and it was kind of funny because there was no stopping us.
No, you were committed. Oh,
and
gosh.
And we were committed. We finished the dance and she was like, good job. And I could see the look on her face seemed to say to me, Are you pleased with yourselves? Did you have fun? Was that like, are we done? She said all the right things at the end. She wasn't rude at all. But because I knew her so well, I knew that she was uncomfortable. And the reaction wasn't the reaction that I had. And I knew, oh dear, I've made a terrible mistake. It was a few days after that we were talking about it. And she had some follow-up questions. And some of her follow-up questions were like, so how long did it take you to do that? That was really nice. Why did you do that? And I could tell that she was trying to understand, and again, didn't want to offend me or anyone, and acknowledged it for what it was, but also was opening up that sort of door for what was that? And talk about uncomfortable. I have made a career on being uncomfortable, right?
Right. Like, I was going to say an improv comic, like that's your whole thing is like, how can we make the audience squirm and how can we put ourselves in a position where we're like trapped and have to come up with something on the fly? So it seems like your level of comfort with being uncomfortable is like pretty high, your tolerance level.
And that is true. And so I feel like I can live in this moment, but I knew it wasn't the kind of uncomfortable like that of wait till we get to the other side. It was what I intended to do, which was to honor my friend and to give her this fun memory, actually made her really uncomfortable. And she felt uncomfortable in a way that I never intended. And that was uncomfortable because it felt like what I did was selfish. Like I just wanted to put on a show when that wasn't true. I really wanted to give her something special, but I just made her uncomfortable because I'd given her the one thing she really didn't want, which was a bunch of people looking at her, which we were all looking at her for her reaction, and it made her uncomfortable. And I hadn't thought about that before.
So this is Lisa. Oh my gosh. I can feel for your poor friend because I too would have like, please open the ground right now and suck me down into the bowels of the earth because I cannot sit here and watch this happen in front of me anymore. So I feel for how that was not a pleasant experience for her. But this is the stick with it moment for you then, is this moment where, I mean, if somebody's like, of all the people out there who can handle a little discomfort, like that's kind of where you do your best work. And so for you to be in this moment where you're starting to realize, oh, maybe I can't just laugh this off. You're picking up on the sense that you've kind of failed her in a way that felt like obviously it was the opposite of what you wanted. And what were some of your gut instincts at that time to like shut it down or to like be like, oh no, it wasn't that bad?
Oh yeah. I think the internal battle is, you know, at first you're thinking, we spent a lot of time on this. Like even if you didn't like it, can you see like we spent a lot of time and thought and we put this in to honor you, even if it was a hit or a miss and it wasn't a hit. And she clearly did tell me what she wanted before, which was to have dinner and to have an ice cream cake. Mm. She was really clear with what she wanted.
And you didn't respect it.
I didn't respect it. And I could have either acknowledged it or not acknowledged it. Because I think my biggest, after that initial, like, hey, that was a lot of time, my initial thing was, let's just forget about this and sweep it under the rug and just pretend it didn't happen. Mm. I think that's what I fought against. And I thought, no, this is somebody who's like friendship, like means a lot to me. Someone who is like a family member to me. And so I went a little further and was like, I feel like I've made a horrible mistake. And maybe that's what we'll be laughing about instead of the experience is that.
So this is in conversation with her. You're staying with that and being like, yes. Okay, so tell me, what was that experience for you?
And I said, was it as bad as your face said it was? And she, to her credit, because I know she didn't want to hurt my feelings. She has lots of good manners. She's really great. Said, you know, that the thing that I hate the most is people looking at me. And everyone was looking at me.
And you did that to me.
Yep. And I did. And there was no getting around it. And I wanted to acknowledge, yeah, that was, yes, you were clear about that. And I didn't hear that. Or I pushed it to the side and thought, that's not really, but in this case, you really do want this. which is not being a good friend. And what I like about that moment is it was like, okay, I'm going to be honest. I didn't want people looking at me. And then I leaned in just a little bit, even though it made me look bad, of saying, yeah, you did tell me that. And I thought maybe that's not what you meant. And you did mean it. And I'm sorry. And it was just like, we just inched a little bit. And I think in those points of conflict or those uncomfortable conversations, we think we have to make like this big declarative statement of like, you didn't honor what I said, or you should be grateful for this, or like, it has to be like a big thing. But it was very, just a slight like lean in to, no, I acknowledge that. That was really bad. That was actually the opposite of what you said. And I'm really sorry. And we ended up having a good conversation about our differences in our friendship and actually how when we honor that in each other, it makes us better people, individuals. And that was the good part of it. But boy, that initial part, like you said, was really uncomfortable.
Thank you for sharing that, Lisa. I think a lot of us have had moments where we've let friends down and we've maybe not wanted to have to think about that too closely or to really tackle it head on. I really respect the fact that you went there with her. And what would have been different, do you think, if you had just sort of like, oh, okay, that was a miss, and sort of move on, like, you know, I love you. And
I had the best of intention or whatever.
Yeah. What would have been different, do you think, or what would you have missed out on if you had just sort of not leaned into what was a failure on your part?
Oh, I think that's the question. I think that's such a good question because I have thought about it because I have had situations where I did just say, oh, whatever, we won't talk about it. When you don't talk about things that make you uncomfortable, when you have those, it's a missed opportunity for a deeper kind of connection. Our friendship after that got a lot deeper and a lot better after that. If I had just been like, whatever, I think that would have allowed just like a little distance for things to get lost in. You know, it's like the distance, you know, when your bed doesn't reach the headboard, doesn't reach like the full edge, and then you just kind of shove garbage down there. My kids do that. I do not do that. I would never. I was just cleaning out from under the bed. It's so easy for you just to throw a lot of stuff there, like, well, they don't really get me, and to have like resentment build. Like,
yeah, I really, on her part.
Like, on her part, for sure.
I could see her being a little bit less trusting of you. Like, I thought she got me. And if she missed that so dramatically, like, do I have to pretend who I am around her a little bit?
Yeah.
Or never quite know if she doesn't actually fully get me?
100%. And I think that she could have thought too, like, well, what else is around the corner? If I didn't see this coming, like, what's she going to do next? Like, I need to be on guard. I would be if I were her.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it would have been easy to be like, oh, well then, like, what's the use putting in any effort if I'm not going to be appreciated or whatever? It could have been really easy for me just to be selfish about that. And instead it was that was a big miss, wasn't it? Yeah. And in fact, it can be something that we can make fun of together. Like, remember when you said you didn't want this thing and then I gave you that thing times 10? Remember when I did? Yep. That was, yep. And it gave us a deeper commitment to honor the other person and not judge the other person for liking one thing and not liking the other thing. And honoring that difference kind of became our thing. And I honestly think that it has made us better friends. And something that I do talk a lot about, especially on the Lisa Show, but also just with my friends now, is how life is too short just to have these superficial sort of relationships, right? Like this real connection and real authentic vulnerability where you show up as yourself and lay it all out. And you find somebody who's like, oh yeah, I like this. And we don't have to be the same in order to like have a deeper relationship has saved my life. I'll be quite honest, the continuation of this story is kind of great because our relationship has deepened and she has been there for me in things that I didn't know were coming. My husband, who was also her really good friend, was diagnosed with a terminal disease, she was there for both of us to show up in ways that I didn't know that I needed, in ways that had that were strengthened by her personality, that balanced, you know, my personality. When I needed someone just to sit and be there, when I didn't know what to say, she was there. She proved herself over and over again as a great friend. And sometimes I think, you know, when we go through difficult things, we think, oh, it's the people, someone needs to understand exactly how, be in the situation and be like me and see the world like me and have a worldview like me in order to truly understand. And I just don't think that that's always true. I think sometimes it's the people who have a different worldview who can offer us a different perspective that gives us the tools and the connection that we don't know we desperately need. She gave that to me. For her 50th birthday, I redeemed myself.
No flash mob.
No flash mob. And I feel like it was sort of indicative of how, of all the things that we had been through. And before I share that, I will share a sort of tender friendship moment. During COVID, my husband passed away. She was one of the first people that I let know. And she said, "I don't want to alarm you, but I'm just sitting in the dark in your living room right now, just waiting." And it was during this most vulnerable time that I had that I didn't need to ask her what I needed. I didn't need to tell her. She just knew, and she was just there, just sitting in the dark in case I needed her. And I think that visual is such like a tender expression. Sometimes I think we are looking for connection and we're looking, how can we have friends? How do we make friends as an adult? How do we find connection during these disjointed times? Or I'm so busy. These are the questions that I get all the time for my podcast or just in real life. And I just want to say that the answer really is a lot more simple, I think, than we think. It's showing up for people in your strengths, however you know how to, connected to that person, being vulnerable and having those uncomfortable conversations, honestly, is the only way to know how to do it. I didn't know what I needed in that time. She didn't know what I needed, but she showed up in a way that she knew how. She just was sitting there waiting, and she, because she knew things were getting bad and that I might need her. That's friendship. So fast forward, she's turning 50, and I really listened to what she really, really wanted. As an extreme introvert and me as an extreme extrovert were able to combine those powers. So this is what happened. A few weeks, a couple months before her 50th birthday, I put out on my social media a video and a message saying, "Hey, my friend who loves books and loves reading is turning 50, and I want to really redeem myself from a horrible thing that I had done 10 years ago and given her the exact opposite of what she wanted. And I really want to give her what she wanted. If you love books as much as she does, or if you have a book that you just love, will you just send it to my friend? She wants to get as many books as possible. This is her dream come true." And in the mail for the next few weeks, she just got book after book after book after book. So much so, she had to buy a new bookshelf for all her books. She said, "I don't have to leave my house. I don't have to go anywhere. And people are sending me presents. Not only that, but my favorite thing, which are books. This is the best birthday ever." Aww. And there was no party. There was no ice cream cake. There was no flash mob. But there were a big pile of books and her feeling loved and validated and heard. And I just thought, oh, wow, we've both come a long way. So if people are wondering, is it worth it to have those uncomfortable conversations? 100%. And it might not be as bad as you think.
Lisa, thank you so much for sharing that story. I love it. Casey is a very lucky woman to have you as a friend. That's really beautiful.
Lucky. I'm the one that's lucky.
Lisa Valentine-Clark is host of The Lisa Show, which is a BYU radio podcast, and you can find it on all the places, all the podcast apps. And of course, you're actually really active on social media as well. Do you want to tell people a little bit about what's happening with The Lisa Show right now?
Oh, yeah, you bet. I'm over at The Lisa Show on Instagram and Facebook, and then my personal account is at Your Funny Valentine on Instagram, and I like to do, some fun videos and comedy, as well as connecting people together. I love that. I love the community that we've created, the conversations that we're having. I'm pretty much an open book.
Lisa, thanks again. Really enjoyed talking with you today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for getting uncomfy with us today. Lisa has me thinking now about some of the missed opportunities for uncomfortable conversations with people in my life. Because even when I love someone and I know that they love me, it's still so hard to stay curious when something goes awry. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. Have you chosen to stay uncomfy recently when confronted by a perspective or a situation that challenged you? How'd you manage to stay open and curious when your instinct was probably to bail out or get defensive? Drop a line to uncomfy@byu.edu. We might even have you on the show to tell your story. Meantime, if you're looking for more thoughtful ways to practice sticking with moments that challenge you, check out my other podcast called Top of Mind. Each episode dives into one tough topic like race or immigration. We don't take a side. We're out to learn and to feel new empathy so we can be better citizens, kinder neighbors, and more effective advocates. You can find Top of Mind on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you usually listen. Uncomfy is a BYU radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it, and the team includes James Hoops, Sam Payne, Kelsey Ney, and Brandon Lewis. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week.